Welcome, everybody. Crawl into your interior cave and listen to The Hermit
and his wife, where we talk spirituality, parenting, Catholicism, inside and out. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Pinky.
How are you? I'm looking kind of pink today. I'm a little cold, so I'm wearing a sweater.
In May.
Well, it's Minnesota, guys.
Minnesota.
It's still cold.
Oh, I'm wearing my Nebraska.
Trader.
Nebraska shirt.
What are we going to talk about today, Anthony? What's our topic?
That's sort of your segue, isn't it, now?
Well, we do like a little light chat and banter.
Sort of ping-ponging it over.
And then it's like, let's get this rolling. Let's start.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Well, this is now I wanted to talk about leisure today.
And hobbies and things that we do that are enriching to our lives and fun and enjoyable. When I say it like that, the list sounds really short.
I mean,
there are things that we enjoy, but we don't get to do them very much. But I think we want to hit on a couple big principles, which is that it's important to do things that are fun. It's important to do things that enrich your life. It's important. Jorge, J-O-R-G-E. Someone's writing letters to his baseball players. Hey, you didn't shut the door, buddy.
Fine.
We told you we're not editing you guys. This is real life. Okay, so we want to hit on a couple principles for leisure and hobbies. The first one is it's important to do things that you enjoy. We're not supposed to be martyrs to our season and state in life. We're supposed to do things that like feed us and fuel us. It's also important to do those things in moderation. And it's important to try new things even as you age and explore new hobbies like making a fake podcast with your husband. My new hobby. Those are my big thoughts for the day. If you don't listen any further than the first 2 minutes, now you know what we were going to talk about that you missed out on. What are your big thoughts?
What is leisure? Well, I think that, I say that a lot, too.
I think that it's the lawyer in
here.
There's
a lot of ums in here.
It's okay. I'm not editing them out.
Well, I think, you know, one of the principles, an author that's a philosopher that's frequently talked about, you know, in the context of leisure is Joseph Pieper.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a German philosopher, and he wrote a book called Leisure.
Well, there you go.
The Basis of Culture.
What an interesting subtitle.
The Basis of Culture.
It kind of challenges you.
Yeah, so leisure in the sense that it's time that is not spent doing, you know, the daily activities, the requirements, the tasks that come with the everyday, that it's actually a sort of a time set aside that rejuvenates the whole person. But it's not,
like,
you know, it's not simply a time when you don't have anything to do. I mean, it's
not like an ennui boredom time where you're just mindlessly doing nothing.
Right. Exactly. It's not, the Latin word for that, where you're just like mindlessly doing nothing, would be otium, which is sort of a,
how do you spell that?
O-T-I-U-M. St. Benedict said, warned his monks in the Rule of St. Benedict, avoid otium. Like,
avoid otium.
There's times where you're supposed to be engaged in activities, but it's rejuvenating for the soul. So I think that's what you're getting at is, you know, everybody needs time set aside where you're not washing dishes, you're not doing your job, you're not even thinking about your job. And one of the things I really like about Joseph Pieper's book, Leisure, the Basis of Culture, is that culture comes from the Latin word cultus, which is actually worship.
I didn't know that, you guys. You learn something new every day in this podcast.
So culture.
Worship. What do you worship as a cult? Like, what's your culture founded on? Like,
right, a cult. You know, a cult is, you know, something that you're, well, it has bad connotations.
I mean, a cult is a bad thing. Don't join a cult. And if you're in one, send SOS signals.
But, you know, leisure as the basis of culture is how are people, you know, spending their time? What are they prioritizing? And because culture is supposed to infuse, you know, those are the activities that surround what you devote your primary, you know, attention to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you know, true worship, like Joseph Pieper talked about how man has to be able to affirm, you know, God, the creator of all things. He has to have these periods of leisure where it's, you know, it's a step aside from just the everyday. And so it allows you to view, you know, all of creation in a different way, not from the lens of just, you know, being completely immersed in it and, you know, having to deal with everything, but sort of a, you know, step aside and viewing it as a gift, but also, you know, in adoration and praise of God. So that allows you to sort of, you know, celebrate things as they are.
I love that. So what, when we think about culture, like American culture, I think of like football, which I don't care for, French fries, I don't know, loud outdoor concerts. God knows when we'll go to those again. Like, things that we do as Americans, watch Saturday Night Live ridiculing politicians. Like, what are these, like, American pastimes? But really, I think more interesting for our purposes is that we don't have to just plug into the pastimes that are popular. We get to cultivate our own interests and pastimes. You might be interested in something that's really not even popular. Now, pre-pandemic life, I would say that bread making was still considered like a little wannabe, a little hipster, like a little trying too hard. And now I feel that many people have found their inner sourdough goddess, if you will. They're like all in on something that maybe before they would have thought like, it's not really for me, it's not really my thing. And now I think, oh no, I actually like this. So
yeah, didn't you say that
I want to know
the grocery store is out of yeast?
Yeah, people are like making a run on the yeast, stockpiling yeast.
Or maybe they're making more beer. I don't know.
Maybe they're brewing beer. But I think also, like, here we are. We have four kids. No newborns. We're, like, in a slightly different stage than when we had, like, you know, four under six. But to say, oh, what are the things we've cultivated? What's given us life? And that's actually changed even just in 11 years of being together. Because some of the things that I loved initially that were my escape, like, were what I plugged into, I don't find as much joy from anymore. Like, what about for you? I mean, a huge thread through your life has been running. There have been times in our marriage when you haven't been running, and times when you're like,
Minnesota,
you're like number
30 degrees below zero,
number
windy,
know, one in
ice.
Your men's category for the marathon. Because he's so fast. But like, what for you? How, you know, what I would love to share with our people here, like what it is that we have loved, and then like, where we are now, you know? Because I have a list of things that I used to do when we were first married with little kids, and now I do different things. For leisure, for this purpose of, like, reinvigorating ourselves, reorienting ourselves, getting a fresh perspective, like you said, on creation, just being able to come back to the mundanities of life.
Yeah.
Fresh, refreshed.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
We're making a video. You can sit quietly, or you can go down and listen to your TV. What do you think? Like, what's your?
Yeah, it really does depend upon, you know, your season of life. You're gonna have, you know, periods of time, you know, either less or more depending upon, you know, where you are. Especially if you're married and you have kids, and I mean, if you've got really little ones, you don't have as much time for things. Or even when you do have time, you're probably tired because there are physical demands on, you know,
everything,
you know, and. So I think during that period of time, you have to sort of simplify things but still have something that really does,
hey buddy, take that ball out of here.
That really does refresh you.
Go kick somewhere else, sweetie pie. I want to hear from you though. You're talking on the principle, which I love, but I want to hear from you about what you've done for leisure.
Sure, you can. Please don't do that.
I'm going to take this little guy downstairs while Anthony tells you. You're not getting permanent markers.
I think that running has definitely been a rejuvenating thing for me. It's a physical, you know, it's a physical thing, but it also, it's tied into the intellect. I've found it that it sort of loosens up, you know, on the physical, it allows my body to be physically to relax while I'm running, and then my mind is sort of free to, you know, to think thoughts that I'm not that aren't hindered by, you know, the everyday. And so I've found that really helpful. But I've also noticed, I don't know, there have been periods of time, especially when Noah's been, know, has been pregnant, or maybe just, you know, after having given birth or whatever, that, you know, we spend more time kind of geared towards, I don't know, watching movies or things like that. But I haven't found that as true leisure in the sense that it's not, I don't feel refreshed. It's not something when it's done. I don't feel rejuvenated because I don't know that using it in there. I mean, I think it has its place, you know, to do those things. I'm telling about, you know, like Netflixing.
Is that a verb that now?
It's not. I haven't found it, you know, like truly.
You don't feel like you rest and rejuvenate watching passively receiving like media.
Right. You know, I have found it helpful to do, you know, at different periods. Like I really love Latin, and I'll pick up, you know, different Latin books so that I can learn more Latin. And even if it's just 10 minutes, it's so much more. I feel like I've actually done something.
Did you just out yourself as a Latin nerd?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Latin nerd alert.
I guess I did.
I mean, I think we kind of could guess that from all the Latin.
But I love
that. That feeds you. You feel good after you do that.
Yeah. So yeah. 10 minutes doing that versus 10 minutes of, I mean, I love like Better Call Saul or, you know, something like that. But you know, weighing the two, if I've got the mental energy and stamina to do that, it just always outweighs, you know, something like that. So just finding something, you know, plugging into your past. So maybe, I don't know, Latin was something that I didn't do for a number of years, but I sort of came back to it, and you know, you sort of rediscover the joy in it, and it's you know, it can be a really beautiful thing. So
that's an important principle, that it's not necessarily I picked up this hobby and now I'm going to excel in it until I'm ready for the Olympics. That you can do something and then maybe not do it for a while, but and pick it back up later and still find like a renewed sense of joy in it. This is not performance based. This is not all or nothing. This is not your profession. We're talking about things you enjoy, hobbies, true leisure, which isn't being graded. And you're not trying to sell it either.
Yeah, it's the difference between, you know, like the Olympics, you know, an amateur versus, you know, a professional. I mean, it's okay to but not be that great at something, but enjoy
it. But still like it.
And want to do it.
Okay. I have a great example of that. So when we were dating, gosh, this is a really long time ago now, I had always wanted to learn how to play the cello. And I did a lot of voice lessons growing up and singing and was in a bunch of choirs and ensembles. And we all took piano lessons as children, which, I mean, none of us ended up being great, but we all knew how to, like, basically read music. But I just, for some reason, I don't know if I saw a movie or I just loved cello music. And I confided this desire to Anthony, who, in a fit of romance, purchased a cello for me. Let's just let that sink in. I'm dating someone who bought me a cello. I mean, pretty amazing. It also helped that dear friends of ours live nearby, and she was a Juilliard-trained pianist who, and all of her children had gone through stringed instruments, and it was like, okay, then she's going to teach you, like, the basics of, like, bow holds, tuning your, like, all the, I knew nothing about cello. So that was, like, 13 or 14 years ago?
Yeah.
And I'm still in book one Suzuki because I will like play and I'll practice, and I did it even when I was pregnant with some of the kids, and then I put it away. So it just lives in the music room. And then when our oldest was doing violin, I like got into it again. I like traveled along with him on book one, even though he was doing violin, I was doing cello. And then like a string broke. And so then I had to set it aside.
Yeah.
Now our second is in book one of violin, and I'm like, I'm gonna get back into it. And it's just this resurgent wave. I even did a while ago on Instagram, maybe last year, like 5 minutes a day of practice. And guys, I sound bad. Like, I'm squeaky. I don't sound good. But in this day and age of thinking everything is for a platform and for leveraging and maximizing your side biz and your side hustle, woo, like all the hashtags. Anthony's really
into hashtag. Well, I want to say
your face when I said that.
I don't know.
It just doesn't have to be that. It can just be something you're bad at, but you enjoy. And I'm bad at the cello, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to throw something out there. If there are any guys, and this is going back to I think one of our first episodes, we talked about wooing. You know, there's a great line from Finding Forrester, the movie, which is, it's got Sean Connery. He's this sort of
curmudgeon.
He's this author. Anyway, he's trying to advise this high school kid who's been hanging out with him and who likes this girl. And Sean Connery, you know, it's only Sean Connery can in his voice.
Are you going to do
tells
it?
Tells him. I can't do it.
Do the accent.
He says, he tells him, the way to a woman's heart is through spontaneous gifts. And anyway, so then the next day he goes and he gets her a gift. And of course, she loves it.
Hi, sweetie pie. We got another interrupter. We got waffles. You can't have waffles. Daddy's gonna take you downstairs.
Okay.
Another thing that I like all of this. So my leisure, my hobby certainly shifted from having little kiddos, where I started sewing. My mom had bought me a sewing machine when we were engaged. It was a really random gift. I knew how to like hand sew. I had never had a sewing machine. She's like, oh, you'll just love this. Someday you'll be able to make things. I'm like, Mom, what are you talking about? But I learned the basics of how to use the sewing machine. And then as my kids got older and older, I just started loving to sew. Like, Anthony would come home. My outlet would be like, I'm going to go sew some baby clothes. I'm going to go sew this baby pattern. I'm going to learn how to make this, learn how to make that. Opened a little Etsy shop. And it has been, I guess, in that sense. Like, I did do it for selling stuff. But that wasn't why I did it. Like, the creation part of it, the creation of sewing, making something new, making something beautiful with beautiful materials, challenging myself to do something new. Without a lot of formal instruction is great. So even if it is something that you do love that does turn into something that you monetize, that's okay too. That's not like, oh my gosh, it can't be leisure. I mean, if you're like, I gotta crank up 55 orders today, that might not be very relaxing, leisurable. It's not even an adjective. Another hobby that I have picked up, definitely the bread making. I mean, we're going back to bread making. It's like very on point now. But my sister came when we first moved in here 3 years ago, and she brought sourdough with her. My mom had given me this bread making book. It was like artisan bread in 5 minutes. And I thought, yeah, right. It's not going to work. But my sister came. She taught me the technique. She brought me some sourdough starter, and she kind of got me started. So I'm like a one-hit wonder. I just make the artisan in 5 minutes master recipe. And I make it at least once a week, if not twice a week. And I have made a couple other recipes in their book. But for me, the leisure and the joy in bread making is that I don't have to become an expert. I'm not going to suddenly open a bread shop. I'm not going to be doing incredibly challenging and fancy things, because I do a lot of challenging things in my work for Blessed Itchy. So my leisure part of my brain, I want it to be something like that I'll enjoy and that I kind of can find a groove in. So the artisan bread in 5 minutes, like, it's mindless in a sense. It's very rhythmic. I make the dough, I let the dough rise, I refrigerate the dough, I pull it out, the kids help me, we flour, we like score it, we put it in the oven, and then we get to eat it right away with butter. It's amazing. So I really like that it's not always as well.
This is getting out of control.
You know what, this is why it's unedited. So I just talked about sewing and bread making, and I think those are things that I've loved. But I've also found, and maybe you guys have too, that something that you love, you can use it as almost a coping mechanism for escaping from your life. So unhealthfully saying, well, this is my hobby, I'm gonna completely ignore my obligations or my emotional dumpster fire, and I'm just gonna go plug into this thing to recharge, but really you're hiding from life.
Emotional dumpster fire.
I just put that together right
now. Wow.
You heard it here first.
Hashtag something,
hashtag emotional dumpster fire. So you wanna shut the door? She's just out there dancing. Boy. Dancing in her dress, that's the 3-year-old. So if you find that your hobby is disordered in your life, that what you are calling leisure and pleasure and recharge actually means like you didn't do the stuff you have to do first. I've certainly fallen into that. Oh, I have to finish this blog post. Oh, I have to finish this, whatever I'm doing for other people, this activity that's giving me life. But I haven't done the laundry, and I haven't done the dishes, and I haven't read a book with my kids that day. So I think that's like the last point that we have been talking about. Like this, it can take over too much, because you can use the excuse of, oh, this is my charge. I've used that excuse and thought, I'm not going to have time to do this if I don't take the time out of my day. Steal this time for me, instead of trusting, hey, if I do what I'm supposed to do in the day, the Lord is going to multiply my time and make time for the things that He knows are on my heart. He knows I want to do. He knows I deeply desire to do. So to receive it and to watch for the opportunities to replenish, especially as a mom with little kids, and not just constantly be stealing away and resenting that the kids are in the way of what I actually want to do, which is something more fun for me than reading Arthur's Eyes for the 6th time in a row.
Yeah, that's a great point about, you don't want to feel like you're stealing time away. So if you're married, it's really helpful if you give permission to the, you know, to your spouse to be able to do something like that. Because if they know, hey, I'm going to have a little bit of time, you know, later, they don't feel this, you know, interior tension. Because it's like we all need to be able to be rejuvenated by something that brings us joy. And I think that so try to do that, you know, be intentional about trying to enable your spouse to do things, or maybe it's even a communal, like something you can do together.
You've been great about that. And then I feel released of like, it's okay, I'm gonna go fritter away 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not doing anything that's productive.
Yeah.
Like I can just recharge for 40 minutes.
But just to springboard off of that for a second. So for you, you know, for leisure, you know, something that there's a great line I love from, he's now a priest down in Australia, and he had this line. He said, "Whatever blows your hair back, man," which is, you know, like there's a real, you know, it's like the dog leaning his head out the window. It's like blowing it back. So like, try to find something that you, if you don't have anything right now, or I don't know, like,
right,
whatever brings you like true joy, because there's a goodness in creation and there's a goodness in, you know, certain activities. And, you know, we're sort of wired. Some things we find more joyful than others, but try to find something that's rejuvenating, that whatever blows your hair back. And, you know, it's like, well, like even hopping on a bike. I mean, because I hadn't ridden a bike until we had kids. I hadn't ridden a bike for years. And then I hopped on a bike and we're going downhill and I forgot, it's so fun to go down a hill.
Is it?
Fast, you know? I mean,
okay.
It's awesome.
Blows your hair back,
so,
not mine.
So anyway, so I think that's sort of the general principle, is if there's something that really does bring you joy, like foster that, and because that's going to help rejuvenate and give you perspective on like the ordinary, the everyday sort of
getting
thing.
Through
and,
it.
Yeah.
All right. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, well, oh yeah, okay. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Well, that's one principle, is find something that brings you true joy. But also try to tie it back into, you know, leisure as, I mean, leisure time also is to help rightly order your life to not just creation, but also back to God. So true leisure, part of your leisure is you're trying to adore God. So a huge component of it has to be, you devote time to God, you know, like whether it's something that we've done for the last few years is, very fortunately, our parish makes available Vespers on Sundays and feast days. So there's Gregorian chant and we can partake in that. And I feel like that transforms the day. There's a beautiful line from John Paul II. He talks about Sundays in his, it's not an encyclical, I think it's like an apostolic exhortation. It's called Dies Domini, the day of the Lord.
Dies Domini.
Dies Domini. He talked about Sundays as sort of the high point of the week, and everything flows from that, because you've got the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But he talked about Vespers and the Divine Office, which we've kind of mentioned a few times, as sort of the culmination of the Eucharistic celebration.
Ooh.
And so I would suggest to you that like Sunday is really like the ultimate, you know, day of leisure. And so to try to foster that and set aside time, and not just in the sense of, you know, you're like running off here and there to go, you know, do all these different activities, but like
true leisure, interior leisure.
Right. So cultus, like foster worship, like worship God, and then also find ways to partake in His creation. Sorry,
pinch grab. That was like you grab it and you pinch it.
Find it.
That way.
Put your finger on the pulse. You know. That's right.
I love that. I've watched that for you, and especially for the boys. That it really is truly rejuvenating. You come back from Vespers and you're like, I'll make dinner, lovey. You should go upstairs and do something fun for you. This paid off. Okay,
that's right. I mean, we're geared towards being united with God. Like only God can ultimately bring us joy.
Yeah.
Because you know, joy is the presence of the thing desired. It's with you. So, God is our ultimate end. If you are in the state of grace, if you you know, are engaging in prayer, if you're engaging in worship. There's also a great, sorry to throw out another one, is that
there's no stopping you.
There's another philosopher, Dietrich von Hildebrand, awesome guy. He's an amazing guy. He was another German philosopher in the 20th century. But he talked about liturgy. He wrote a book called Liturgy and Personality. So if you're partaking in, you know, the worship of God, that's the true development of the person, your full personality. Because so, you know, if you're rightly ordered towards that, you're going to properly develop as a person. You recognize God for who He is, and that, you know, we're oriented towards Him, and it helps you orient your own life. So
I love that.
So really utilize, you know, like really try to make Sunday a day of leisure, you know, devoted true specifically, leisure. Not just going to Mass, but actually,
which is often not very leisurely, especially if you have small kids.
I love
that. Thanks, Steve. That's all we got, friends. That and a whole lot of kid interruptions. What do you think they're doing downstairs?
I don't know. But
the 5-year-old wanted a Sharpie marker.
If you have persevered to the end of this, kudos to you.
You get a gold star.
That's amazing.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.